You're listening to Delmarva Public Media's Spring Membership Drive. I'm Patty Lanius, Membership Coordinator, and I am here with Matt Salzberg from the Department of Theater at Salisbury University and Chris Rank from here at DPM. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So, Matt, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? I gave a very generic introduction for you.
Sure. Well, I am I'm a professor in the theater department. I don't know what all you want me to say, but I'm an actor and theater director by trade. Is that enough?
We'll call that good. So welcome to our spring membership drive. And Matt, what's your earliest memory of music?
My mother singing to me in the tub and at bedtime. And apparently I used to ask her if she invented the songs or, you know, wrote the songs or if she made them up. Like, for example, when she would give me a bath, she would sing, you know, Splish Splash, I Was Taking a Bath. And so that was one of them. I mean, there were many Christmas songs all year round. But that's it. My mother's singing to me.
Do you sing Christmas songs all year round to yourself now?
No.
Okay. I can listen to Christmas music all year round. So
I was older than I care to admit when I realized that she didn't write Let It Snow.
That's too bad. You'd probably be rich on royalties.
Wouldn't we?
If you maybe did. So you are a theater director in our department.
I am, yes.
In our Department of Music, Theater, and Dance here at Salisbury, and you also do some freelance directing and go off and direct during the summer, correct?
Yeah,
I do. Great. So as a director and somebody who's getting ready for productions and shows and working with actors, what role does music play in your creative process?
Well, really an important one. One of my close friends jokes that, my reaction to a play is, if I can't put a live band in this, what good is it? which is funny because I don't know that I'd say I necessarily, I love music, you know. When Aristotle laid out his six elements of tragedy, he put music, well, music is fifth, music and spectacle are fifth and sixth. But I like to think of that hierarchy in reverse. I mean, music is so, so, so important to me because it communicates on a visceral level, beyond or deeper than, or whatever metaphor you want to use, words. And I think that's really powerful. Music is really important. Although what's funny is I don't necessarily listen to a lot of music.
Oh no.
Even though I love almost any kind of music, but it's not a go-to. I mean, necessarily, for background noise, I'm more likely to put, the TV on, what's funny is, so when I was in graduate school, there were two of us directors, and the other director, his way into a play was always what it sounded like, and my way into a play was always what it looked like. I go to image research and visuals. However, I can't remember the last time I directed a production. Well, I guess, except this current one, even though there is piano in it, but I can't remember the last time I directed a production that didn't have either a full score or there were songs in it or something, because I'm not really interested in making plays without music. I think part of it's because my late partner, who was my life partner, but also my artistic partner, was a music director and composer and musician. And so in terms of our artistic partnership, that was sort of his part of the brain. So I think that maybe if I hadn't had him all those years, maybe my way in would be more musical or sound based, but but the importance of music in my work has never and will never go away.
Hey, Matt, let's talk about music in theater for a minute, because it's such a strange thing on one hand. I was thinking about this the other day when I was watching some movie. It was something on Turner Classic Movies, but, you know, here it is, this old movie. And again, movie and theater are not the same thing. But at one point, the main character says something, and then all of a sudden this music starts appearing out of the background. And if you don't think about it, it seems really weird. Like, wait a minute, there's no orchestra in this scene. They're in a small room. Where's this music coming from? And on one hand, you don't think about it being... It's just such a natural part of everything that you don't think about it being odd. But on the other hand, it is very strange to just hear music coming straight out of nowhere. And it's such a regular part of what we do that we don't, we don't think about it. Can you speak to that at all?
Well, yeah, I guess I would say in some ways, I don't think it's strange. I mean, I think you have to establish, you know, what the vocabulary of a piece is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what you're really describing is in film, which I suppose can function similarly in the theater, but I think of it differently. There's the word underscoring, mm-hmm. which I don't like that word, because it implies that there's a hierarchy of elements that are important and music is less than. I even read an article years ago that actually helped Prince, the great Broadway director and producer, Hal Prince may have actually said this. No, I'm sorry. It was John Doyle, who's known for directing. He's directed a lot, but he directed, it started many, many years ago before he was a big name, out of financial necessity, where he would do a musical and the actors in the musical would play the instruments themselves. There would be no orchestra in the pit. I mean, he very famously directed the revival of Sweeney Todd in the early 2000s, where the actors played their own instruments and there was no other orchestra. But he made a comment once of even how we communicate architecturally, like we put the it's the orchestra pit, they're below the stage. And I think music is way more important than that. I've done several productions where the actors played instruments. I've done some here, actually, at Salisbury, where the actors played instruments. And I think that's really important. And so I don't think of music as underscoring per se, because I think if you music sets mood, tone, and those things. But what I think can be most interesting is you don't need to tell an audience something twice. What you see with your eyes or what the dialogue is, the music doesn't need to illustrate that and vice versa, right? Give them something else. We don't need one artistic element to illustrate another. It's already there. Audiences don't need things twice. If the information is already there and you want to bring in something else, another element, how does that element add, not just thinking of it as support? And that's how I think of music in the theater. A proper musical or an opera, of course, are different. But I guess what I was speaking more about is in more quote unquote straight plays.
Right, because if you're dealing with musical theater, and Chris talking about songs coming out of nowhere, that happens all the time in musical theater, but it's always a new piece of action in there. It continues the storyline along. So it goes right into what you were saying, Matt, about not telling the audience something more than once, because that musical piece usually just keeps the action flowing, right? So.
Well, I almost always have original music written. Not a well-known piece or not something with a name. I'm trying to think of, I guess maybe the closest thing is when I directed Madea here in the fall of 2019, that had a full score. There was no singing in it, but it had a full score. And if you saw the show, you might say, oh, that was underscoring. I didn't think of it that way. I thought of it as adding, sitting next to. I think of it in a horizontal way, not a vertical, hierarchical way. And the musical elements in that, to me, I mean, without, you know, I have to sort of explain the whole concept of the production, really. But to me, that really supported it in that way. You know, then there's theater like something like Peter and the Star Catcher, which comes with, it didn't have to be written. The score for Madea was written by my colleague, Jerry Tabor, in the music department for Madea. For Peter and the Star Catcher, it comes with a whole score. It's not exactly a musical, although there are a couple of songs. And it's not, I wouldn't necessarily even call it a play with music either. It's somewhere in between. But it has a score. I mean, it's several hundred pages. And it's a really fun show. But that score is written, it's written because they created that all together, meaning the writers of the script and the musicians and how it was staged, that all was of a piece, which of course is always the best way to work, even if perhaps the least efficient. But, again, it adds, it's not just something sitting underneath. And then there are some works like Bertolt Brecht's Mother Courage and Her Children, which I directed and my partner was still alive then. And it comes with, you know, there are 12 songs in Brecht and songs in Brecht have a particular function. And there are, of course, some very famous productions of that play. I mean, it's by many considered to be the greatest play of the 20th century. And I suppose you can license them. I actually don't know because I didn't look into it because the whole plan was always to have my partner write the original music. And he did. And so for those, each song had its own sort of function and they all sort of referenced something. Like she sings a lullaby over the body of her dead child at the end. And that song was, my partner did a lot of research into Yiddish music and music that came out at, post World War II. And so it has that kind of feel to it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And certainly music with Brecht is a whole different ball game than your nice melodic classical or anything of that nature, or your standard jazz. It has its own way of doing things and its own kind of take on what music is and what music should be. So
you're listening to Delmarva Public Media's spring membership campaign, and we are asking folks to go to the phone, dial 410-543-6895, 410-543-6895, or you can visit us online anytime, day or night, at delmarvapublicmedia.org.